When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Jesus did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he kicked them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talathakum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Can you imagine being a parent, desperate to help your sick child? I can. I remember a 3-year-old little boy coming to my bedside in the middle of the night saying, "Daddy, I can't breathe." We got in my pickup, went to the emergency room, sat in doctor's offices with my daughter. And sometimes even something as simple as a fever. Your baby has a fever. And you know what you do If you've ever gone down this whole parenting road, when your baby has a fever, you start bargaining with God. God, just give the fever to me. Take it away from her. Just give it to me. This whole parenting thing is quite an endeavor. Can you imagine being a sick little girl in bed? I mean, most of us have been there. I remember being a sick little boy lying in bed. We didn't have screens back then in any form. You know, there were TVs. I certainly didn't have one in my room. So I had books and, I don't know, sticks, stuff that I brought in from outside. And what felt like an innumerable amount of ceiling tiles with designs on them. And I remember one time, I was flu, fever, strep throat, some kid thing that you get, just laying in bed, just staring at the ceiling, counting tiles, and being bored, making up stuff in your mind. Can you imagine being Jairus when Jesus agrees to come with you? Now, I'm not sure whether Jairus was sure that Jesus would even come with him. He approaches. He begs Jesus. The text goes so far as to say that. The text goes out of its way to tell us a lot in this passage. And one of the things is that Jairus is begging. He's pleading. Now, this is way out of line for him. This is not normal decorum. This guy is the synagogue leader. And yet he is just begging at the feet of this person that a lot of people in his circles probably hold in suspicion. He doesn't care anymore. He doesn't care about the rules. He doesn't care about decorum. He doesn't care about anything other than this little girl who's sick in bed. And then Jesus agreed. I think we just get so used to things like that happening in these stories that we don't see them for what they are. He's begging. He doesn't know whether Jesus is actually going to agree. And then just right there in the text, very almost nonchalantly, at least the way that the story comes to us, he agrees. Jesus says, yeah. And then he just goes. He agrees. You know that Jesus still says that to you today, right? You talk to Jesus, Jesus still agrees. There's a mixture of good news and bad news because although Jesus brings salvation, there is still suffering. And this is the problem with passages like this when we read them. Because there is still suffering. And that is where the bleeding woman enters the story. She kind of comes out of nowhere, doesn't she? You know, we're going with Jesus down the road. We've got some progression to this story, and then all of a sudden this bleeding woman comes out of nowhere. This is not a dying 12-year-old girl, but this is a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. And maybe the best line in Mark to describe what many of us go through in the healthcare system, even though we are not as sick as the bleeding woman, maybe you are, but we can at least relate to this. I love this line. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Does this sound familiar? Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. But let's go ahead and cut to the chase. Enough of the story, enough of the storytelling. What is this about? What is this really about? It is about faith. These stories are about peace. These stories are about freedom. It's about no suffering. No suffering. How does that sound to you? I mean, how does that strike you on an April day in 2024 in Houston, Texas? Because these are the things that Jesus offers in these stories. These are the things Mark wants us to take away from these stories in this little biography of Jesus. 12 years of bleeding. Faith, peace, freedom, no suffering. 12-year-old girl, sick in bed. Faith, peace, freedom, no suffering. No suffering. None. That's what these highlight, these two stories highlight so much. These stories highlight suffering. You've got a dad and a little girl and a woman. And the thing that all three of them have in common in one way or another is suffering. And what this story or couple of stories does is that it comes to us and it says, do we dare to believe in a world without suffering? Because that's what happens in the end of this story. At the end of this double story. Because before we finish, when we begin to celebrate the woman healed of her 12 years of bleeding, no sooner do we start cheering that we get news that the little 12-year-old girl is dead. And then you know what happens? We start suffering all over again. And you know what Jesus says when we start suffering? Don't be afraid, just believe. It's hard not to be afraid. It's hard not to believe, or it's hard to believe. Maybe that's the point. Jesus is still trying to tell us not to be afraid. And Jesus is still trying to tell us to just believe. Maybe that's the real work of this passage, of this teaching, of our takeaway from our reading. Maybe in the midst of your questions, Jesus is still promising faith and peace and freedom and no suffering. And so you, not them in the story, but you, come to Jesus this morning, whether you are a sick woman, a dead girl, or from earlier stories, a demon-possessed man who lives on the wrong side of the lake, a man with leprosy, a roof-invading paralytic, or just a frightened follower of Jesus caught in the middle of the storm. Faith, peace, freedom, no suffering. I am the sick woman. I am the dead girl. Can you say that to yourself? I mean, can you feel yourself in this story? You are the sick woman. You are the dead girl. The minute we see ourselves in stories like this as the teachers, even the disciples, we miss the healing hand of Jesus' grace. Only when we realize that we are the sick woman, that we are the dead girl, can we hear Jesus' words. Because Jesus doesn't talk to all the other people in the room. He talks directly to the girl. And that's you. And you know what Jesus is saying to you? Little girl, get up. It's hard, though, not to be afraid still. Even when we hear Jesus say that, it's hard to believe. And again, maybe that's the point. Jesus is trying to tell us not to be afraid. And Jesus is still trying to tell us to just believe. And here's something that might help. Jesus takes the little girl by the hand. And Jesus takes the little girl by the hand when everybody in that room and the people who are waiting outside the house who formed the crowd thought that the story was over. You see that, right? Jesus takes the hand of a girl who everybody there thought her story had come to an end. The only one who knows for sure that that story had not yet come to an end is Jesus himself. He takes her by the hand, and he says to her, "Little girl, get up." And this is where you're the dead girl. And maybe all the people watching too. Because if you ever, for a second, think that your story is over, it's not. Jesus is still taking you by the hand, and Jesus is still saying the same thing to this day. Little girl, get up. The little girl was 12 years old. The woman had been bleeding for 12 years. 12-year-old girl. Woman had been bleeding for 12 years. Could it be? Is the woman the little girl's mother? She had a hard delivery, lived a tough life, so much suffering. But now the little girl is sick, just like her. The dad believes that Jesus can help. The mom sure believes by now. Now, that's where we come into the story. And Jesus says to the little girl, "Get up." So, Dad, do you believe? Mom, do you? And you, little girl, Jesus says, "Get up." And then one of the best lines in the story is that after Jesus tells you to get up, you get to have something to eat. And that's always good. What are these stories in Mark telling us? I mean, what are these stories really about? Could it be that an entire household is restored in this one short little story in Mark 5? I mean, we don't know if the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years is the mom or not. But Mark sure does go out of his way to say, she's 12 years old, she's been bleeding for 12 years. However you want to think about this, there's a lot of suffering in this story, and by the time you get to the end of it, there's not. So would you let yourself experience the peace and freedom of Jesus today? That's really what this comes down to. Are they, in our hearing, actually freed from their time of suffering? And then, are we, in our hearing today, perhaps freed for a time from our suffering? Is Jesus taking you by the hand today? Get up. Get up from all the things that distract you from your faith. Get up from all the things that steal your peace. Get up from all the things that bind you, the things that we let deny us from our freedom in Christ. Because when Jesus says, "Get up," it's also a sign of things to come. Not only an ease of our suffering, but this is a glimpse into the new creation. And that's where we, as the ministering community, come into the picture. So, get up.